subject this evening, where is our world going? Let's bow our heads now in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we bow before you tonight in a very special way and pray that you'll guide us through the Holy Spirit. We realize mankind today is grasping for an answer, and we pray, God, we might find the answer in Jesus Christ tonight. Lord Jesus, we know that some come troubled to you tonight, and we pray, Father, you'll take those troubles away. Lift those burdens from their hearts, may they realize that this is just for a short time. That Jesus is coming again, and the prayer of Jesus will be fulfilled. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We look for that day, we long for it, in Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, a fiery-eyed young radical of the SDS organization, the Weathermen, stood beside me on a crowded street corner in Greenwich Village. Before us stood the high-rise apartment buildings, the small business establishments where some of the most affluent people live and work. Down the street towards the east side and towards First Avenue lay one of the worst ghettos, a sprawling garbage barrel of poverty, and his voice trembled with anger, and he said, "We're going to burn it down. We're all going to start over again. This is a bad scene, man. It's a bad scene." And I looked around and I saw it was a bad scene. And as I look around the nation and around the world, it is a bad scene. Our world is shot through with hypocrisy. Our world is marred and shot through with hatred and imperialism and communism and colonialism and exploitive materialism. There are thousands, yes, millions of men and women around the world that want to burn it down and start all over again. Ours is as anguished an age as it is an angry age. It's both ironic and paradoxical that man reaches the moon, but he cannot reach agreement and peace. That he walks in space, but he cannot walk in harmony with his fellow man. An age of scientific achievement and yet an age of sociological failure. Lawlessness and violence and rebellion plague our planet. Our city streets have been turned into battlefields and our campuses have been turned into catastrophes and our cities have been turned into jungles. We've been savagely attacked by the woes of warism. And proliferating poverty and raging racism and ultimate weaponry that beckons impending annihilation. We're moving towards the climax of human history. We live in a shattered, we live in a fragmented, we live in a broken world. And the cry goes up, where is our world going? Men and women, thinking men and women, intelligent men and women are asking the question, where is our world going? Political men are asking the question. Educators are asking the question. The people on the street are asking, what's happening to our world? What's happening to our city? Where is the world going? T.S. Eliot said, this is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Let's take a candid look at our world tonight. Let's look at the problems in the light of biblical prophecy and let's discover some tremendous promises in God's word concerning what the prophet said about this age, this time in which we live, and what's going to transpire very shortly. Now, one area that alarms men and women, that frightens us, is the impending war. Every man and woman lives under the nuclear sword of Damocles, warned the late John F. Kennedy. It's hanging by the slenderest thread, he said, capable of being cut at any moment by accident, miscalculation, or madness. It's a sad fact that our world of such tremendous scientific prowess and such scientific discoveries that man sits on a powder keg that's about to explode in our faces. The hard facts remain that war is increasing with rapidity. There have been 60 and through 90 major and mini wars around the globe since the founding of the United Nations just over 25 years ago. And here are some of the startling facts that men and women are confused about. Men and women are troubled over, wondering where is the world going? $182 billion spent every year for national budget. 40% spent of the national income on defense, war, and 40% on defense and war, more than education and welfare combined. And we have a lot to say about education and the funds used for welfare. Where is the world going? That's what thinking men and women are asking. Listen to what Matthew had to say in Matthew 24 in verse 6 and 7. Looking down the span of time prophetically, seeing in vision what God said would transpire before Jesus comes in all his glory. And I want you to look at it. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. Listen to what the word of God says in Matthew 24. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now when the disciples asked Jesus Christ what it was going to be like when he comes, when the disciples asked the Lord to please clarify the signs of the times prior to the coming of Jesus, when they asked him about the eschatology of the world events, what's going to happen and transpire before he comes in his glory the second time to set up his kingdom, he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be strife, nation against nation. The weak would say they're strong. There would be the rattle of armaments before Jesus comes. To think that in Caesar's day when our Lord spoke these words, it cost 75 cents to kill an enemy soldier. $15,000 to kill an enemy soldier by World War I. $30,000 to kill one enemy soldier by World War II. The Vietnam War, it cost $800,000 to kill every enemy soldier in Vietnam. We talk about universal brotherhood, but there seems to be more hoods than brothers. According to Senator Mark Hatfield, there's currently the equal of 15 tons of TNT for each and every of the 3.5 billion human beings on the earth. 3.5 tons of TNT for each human being here on earth. Senator Albert Gore claims that Russia has 22 nuclear weapons pointed at each of the largest cities in the United States. It seems like someone wants to burn it down, crush it down, destroy it. Where is our world going? It's going to the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to the last conflict. The Bible says in Revelation, the conflict, the war that will end all wars and usher in the millennial age of the coming of Jesus Christ and eternal life for God's people. And as we look around the world and see the problems of weak nations and the wars in South America and Africa, the problems in the Middle East, it seems there's no answer for the Middle East. We understand that we're living in the last days. Where is our world going? It's going to the end of the world, the second coming of Christ. But not only in the area of armament, not only in the area of war, not only in the area of fighting and killing and destroying and nations at conflict and turmoil with other nations, but I think of another area that frightens us, lawlessness. Now there's no one living in New York City that can't help but to see what's happening in our generation, in our age, in this decade, as no other decade in all history. Lawlessness. On every hand, right is a state in that society has gone sour and civilization is sick unto death. A maelstrom of lawlessness, a hurricane of violence, a tornado of selfishness, a cyclone of sexual incontinence and a typhoon of revolt beating upon the homes and beating upon society and beating upon our cities. We see today the incarceration of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people behind prison walls. But sadder still is the incarceration of millions behind doors, locked doors of their homes, afraid to go out, locked apartment homes. You know what it's like, don't you? Going home, locking the doors, keeping yourself in, afraid to go out at night, in cottages and on farms. Fear grips the hearts of human beings, of honest, law-abiding citizens, of Christians. The cities have been turned into jungles. Brutal animals call men with switchblade and revolvers and billy clubs and muggings and murders and rape. They have ravaged our country, and we call ourselves a Christian nation. Lawlessness, a sign of the coming of Jesus Christ. No one can doubt the impact of crime on this generation. You can't pick up a newspaper without seeing in gory details the problems of lawlessness in our city and the problems of lawlessness in our country and the problems of lawlessness around the world. You can't turn on the television set to look at the news without seeing the terror that has taken place in the hearts and the lives of men and women everywhere. Lawlessness, rebellion, where is our world going? Look at the facts. A serious crime. 11 each minute. Murder, one each and every 33 minutes in America. Rape, one every 14 minutes in America. Larceny, one out of every 18 seconds of every day, year in and year out in America. Armed robbery, one out of every 90 seconds, an armed robbery in America. One crime for every 52 citizens in America. And we call ourselves a Christian nation. Lawlessness ravages our lands. Lawlessness ravages our cities. And lawlessness ravages our communities. Yes, we can see it. The mafia grosses between $20 and $30 billion annually. 18,000 murders in New York. In America, the past few years, think of it, what's happening? What's happening here? I was down in Houston holding a crusade and I read the news headlines. 27 bodies of young boys who had been sexually assaulted and then killed. 27 by a madman. California, 25 graves of migrant workers killed for nothing. Senseless murder. I was preaching in a crusade there in Detroit, Michigan. One of the worst crime cities in all America, preaching the message of Jesus Christ. And there was a godly Christian grandmother, a Seventh-day Adventist grandmother, an elderly woman, and she was beaten to death over a bag of groceries while I was there in Detroit preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Lawlessness. The question that comes to our minds tonight, dear friend, where is our world going? Governor Hughes said, savage violence is running throughout society. Former President Richard Nixon said, physical violence, physical intimidation is seemingly on its way to becoming an accepted form of opinion forming today's world. Pope Paul laments, violence, terrorism, and reprisal send a painful quiver through the entire body of mankind. Just a short time, this has been vividly enforced upon our conscience when the Palestinian radicals killed 34 people in a skyjacking of an airliner. We see it on every hand. I could talk to you about Watergate, but no one wants to think about Watergate. I could talk to you about corruption in politics, dishonest politicians that made a mockery of government, and they've made a mockery of justice, and they've made a mockery of law and order, and they've promised everything, but they've given us nothing. I could talk about the problems of pornography that have led us down the road to national tragedy and leading us to the end of the world. The sex shops and the X-rated films and the homosexuality and the sexual promiscuity and the sewer of sensuality rises in our nation and the stench reaches the nostrils of God and God sees it all and God's going to step in and say it's done, it's finished. Judgment is coming. We're reaping what we've seen. Divorce is running rampant through the land and through the church. Marriages are breaking up almost faster rate than they're being made. One out of every two marriages end in divorce in California, and almost one out of every two now in the United States, all around the United States. Where is the world going with lawlessness and sensuality and crime and war and problems? Where is the world going? The sociologist is throwing up his hands. The politician is throwing up his hands. Men in government are throwing up their hands. I thank God that we can fold our hands and have faith that Jesus and the promises of our God will be fulfilled. Jesus is coming in all his glory. And we as the Advent people are looking on, hastening unto that day when our Lord will come. And all the preaching and all the witness and all those things we've done to see the work go to the four corners of the earth are going to be fulfilled in our generation. We're going to see him come. I believe it tonight. But another area that affects us is the area of economics. Where is our world going? This nation has a warped concept that money is the answer. And some of you have that warped concept that if you can buy enough or get enough money in the bank or build a big enough house or have the right kind of car, that that's going to solve your problems. And some husbands and wives think that the real problem in your home is money, when all the time it's a relationship with Jesus Christ and with your God. And materialism, American materialism, thinks that the answer is in that almighty dollar, that it's in the coin. But we see inflation eating away our dollar and our money is worthless today. We've taught it, we've lived it, we've accepted materialism as the answer. Now one doesn't have to have a college degree in economics to realize that we're suffering economically. It seems to the most casual viewer of the world that the world's going to bankruptcy. Shopping. Have you gone shopping lately? My wife goes on Thursdays, and I try to be out of the house on Thursdays. I hope for all the problems in the church to fall on Thursdays. But every now and then she catches a hold of me. And she invites me to go. Well, she doesn't really invite me. She compels me. And we were going to the store just some months ago, and I noticed, you know, these big modern supermarkets, and it's death just to be in there. It's frightening. And whenever I go shopping with my wife, I always expect it to be a quick trip. And I've got it so that I know that supermarket, and I have my plan of strategy. I go over the list of what I'm supposed to get, and I have it all down pat, right in my mind, which way to go, which aisle first, and work my way right to the counter. Get out as fast as possible. But you don't have to have a degree in economics to know that something's wrong with the economy of this nation, the economy of the world. We were shopping one day. My wife said, we need a can of string beans or something. I was moving along. I move, you know, with that little carriage. Men, you take your life in your hands when you're driving with those women in that supermarket. And I was moving up and down the aisles, and I said, what do I need next? String beans. And I knew right where it was. I had it right down, you know, map in my mind, and moved quickly by the string beans, picked up four cans, dropped them without even stopping, catching my breath, and I headed down the aisle. My wife said, wait. And as a good husband, I stopped and waited. And I said, what? She said, you get the string beans? I said, yes. She said, how many ounces? I said, what do you mean ounces? You asked for string beans, not ounces. And she says, no, how many ounces? And I said, so many ounces. She said, how much? And there I was the rest of the afternoon. Ounces, money, ounces, money. Then you come down to that counter and you know the experience, you women that shop. And you husbands think you're giving your wives enough. You go with them to the shopping store. Come on, women. I didn't hear say amen. Oh, well, I was sticking up for the women. Women's lib tonight. And first time I said something good about the women, and they don't even say amen. I'll say something good about the men before it's all over. I may get a strong amen. But anyway, I got to the counter, and you know that experience is frightening. And there's that woman with a gleam in her eyes standing in front of this cash register. And she starts pressing those buttons, a little white ticket comes out, you know, and starts falling down towards the floor, wrapping around your feet. And then she says, $39.52, and you carry it out in both arms. You don't have to have a degree in economics to know that something's happening in our world. Do you realize that cotton is up 215% this year over last year? Do you realize that wheat is up 118%? Do you realize that animal fats and oils up 109%? Soybeans up 85%? And that hits the Adventist right in the stomach. Petroleum products up 31% over last year. Where is our world going economically? Where is our world going economically? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the economy of the world before the coming of Jesus. I had a young man stop me on the street corner in New York, said the Bible's not relevant. What's more relevant than what we're speaking about tonight? What's more relevant than the signs of the second coming of Jesus? What's more relevant than Matthew 24? It reads as a newspaper, but it comes with an answer at the end, Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says in James. James, the 5th chapter in verse 17. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And notice what the Bible says about the economy before the coming of Jesus Christ the second time. Notice the economy. James, the 5th chapter. And look at verses 1 through 7. Notice what the Bible says. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver is cankered, worthless. You rich men, you think you have it, but your money's worthless. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were a fire. Ye've heaped treasure together for the last days. I want you to catch that. Ye've heaped together treasure for the last days. And then behold, the hire of labor who hath reaped down your fields, which is view kept back by fraud, crieth. Now there's the sign of the times. There's the strikes and the unions and the conflict. The laborer who's reaping down the field, fighting and arguing, more wages, higher wages, and that keeps going up. The prices keep going up, the wage keeps going up, and the wage never catches up to the price, higher and higher and higher, and we're caught in the vortex. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient, and if ever we needed patience, it's going when we go to the supermarket. He says, be ye therefore patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth what? Nigh, I tell you, Jesus Christ will come, and he's coming soon, this generation. Economically, Our world is going towards bankruptcy. One blunder from one blunder to another, from one tragedy to another, from one crisis to another, God is working out a divine plan. And perhaps faith is not blind after all, and perhaps the simple message of hope in the Bible is the only hope of the world. And perhaps what Jesus Christ said, that I will come, and all the years we've preached the coming of Jesus, perhaps this is a year we should preach it with stronger fervor and greater faith, believing and trusting He's coming again. And wake up, Adventists, He's coming again. And some of you are going to be caught sleeping. And some of you dear saints who've grown up in this church believing, you're going to be caught sleeping. You're going to be caught in the lay of the sea, and you're going to be spewed out of the mouth of God. You better get right with the Lord now and not wait for all these things to happen. I have some Adventists living in that dilemma where they have the chart on the wall. And all these things are going to happen. And some ministers spend all their time making charts and no time preaching the message of Jesus. And we know everything what's going to transpire. But the Bible says He'll cut it short in righteousness. Let's get right with God. Let's understand the signs of the times. Let's tell our neighbors and our friends about it. And when they say, oh, what were terrible things, why, it's opening the door for you to witness for Jesus, to tell them about the wonderful promises found in God's Word. Jesus is coming again. Adventist believer, smile. And have that on your heart when you go to work in the morning. Have it in your heart when you go shopping. And you see it, 39, 59, 79 cents. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's coming. Let them raise the prices. Raises my faith. Raises my faith. Bible is our only hope. Perhaps the dreams and visions of these ancient men found in Scripture and the prophecies of God's holy word and the apocalypse. Perhaps this is, could it be that in a world torn by war, a world shot through with crime and lawlessness, a world on the brink of economic doom, a world with differences, could it be the prophets that believed in God, that believed He was on the throne, that perhaps this is the kind of faith that we need in this generation as no other generation? Paul would have loved to live in our age when all these economic problems and all the strife between nations and all these things, lawlessness, he would have loved to walk down New York on 42nd Street, walk down 8th Avenue and preach the coming of Jesus Christ. He would have loved it. He would have loved it. Paul would have loved the generation. He would have loved the fact. A world on the brink of economic doom. What made the difference? I think of ancient men. It was their faith in God that made the difference. Their faith in God. Man today looks through rose-colored glasses. He formulates theory upon theory with the hope that man will solve the problem of man. And humanism will meet tragedy with technology. That's the cry of the humanist. And humanism hoping to heal the headache of mankind with an aspirin of achievement. He says humanism, but humanism has failed. We've built our buildings, but we've made a Babylon out of it. We've split the atom, but we've created hell. We've made our inventions and we've turned with a flick of a light. The light on, but we put on the smart key of human world pornography in lights and shining lights. We've brought ourselves to the brink of disaster. Brought ourselves to the brink of disaster. I read of ancient yet very contemporary story about Israel in Isaiah 1. Turn with me in your Bibles. Perhaps you haven't caught this beautiful, significant moment, but look at here. Right here in Isaiah. And I want you to look at the first chapter of Isaiah and look at verses 3 through 4. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Notice, children that are corrupters, that have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. The Bible says when all this has happened to that nation, they turned their backs on God and they've gone backward. Some of you have gone backward in your relationship with Jesus Christ from last year to this year. Some of you have gone backward in this last decade in your relationship and your faith in God. Some of you have gone backward in your experience with Jesus and your faith in God. You've gone backward. You've backslidden and you're in a backslidden state. And perhaps this is our problem as a nation. Perhaps this is our problem as a people. We've gone backward instead of forward in faith, believing and trusting, ever looking to Jesus. Ever looking to Jesus. Yes, our world's going backward. We've harnessed the atom, but we will never make war obsolete until we find a force to bridle the passions of men. Where is that force? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for the world tonight. I tell you that, friend. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of His return the second time, is the only hope for this sin-racked world. Jesus is coming again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The problems of man are basically theological and spiritual. And everything that's wrong with history and everything that's wrong with a nation springs from the heart of man. And it's the touch of human nature that makes an atom a threat to man. It's the touch of human nature that makes beauty a threat to man. It's the touch of human nature that makes materialism and money a threat to man. It's the touch of human nature. And there's nothing wrong with nuclear fission apart from the way that man uses it. I remember as a young boy in a ghetto growing up in Coney Island, I was a threat to society. I was a threat to my neighbors. I was a threat to anyone that came and in conflict with me. I was a threat until Jesus took hold of my life and I was changed. Can't the world see that? Can't the world see that those who love the Lord Jesus, who've come under the shadow of His grace, those who've come under His blood, they're a threat no more to society. They're a threat no more to the laws of the land and to the laws of God. They're a threat no more. What we need today in America is a revival. What we need today in our churches is a reformation. We need to go out from this place as God-fearing, God-believing, God-trusting people, prepared for the return of Jesus Christ the second time. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again, and the last laugh will be God's. Jesus is coming again. The touch of man upon history infects history. And yet school and government tries to survive without the spiritual life. Without the spiritual life. Many years ago in the city of London, England, there broke out a severe outbreak of cholera, and it devastated the city. And thousands of people were dying in the homes and in the streets and in the businesses. Cholera, an epidemic. Then there came along an English physician by the name of John Snow, and he had a hunch, just a hunch. And he looked up all the addresses of the sick, and he discovered that all those people drank from the same pump in the same street. And all he did was take away the handle from the pump, and he stopped the epidemic. Perhaps there's a simple solution. Perhaps there's a simple solution for the worldwide political and economic and moral epidemic that's diseasing the heart and the soul of a nation and the world. Perhaps there's an answer to the plague that plagues our land of lawlessness and war and hate and economic failure. Perhaps there's a simple answer. Perhaps it's so simple we don't want to believe it because we're so complicated. And when we hear about the simple things, we reject them for the complicated. And when they try to tell us the simple gospel, why we don't want to hear it. We want something complicated, something sophisticated, something complicated. But I tell you, there is a simple gospel. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That Jesus Christ can answer your problem in your heart tonight. He can come into your home and He can change it. He can come into your heart and He can change it. He can come into your mind and He can change it. He can come into this place, this campground, and He can change the spirit of animosity, the spirit perhaps that prevails here. He can change us all. He can come into the ministry and He can change us by the grace and the power of God, the simple grace of Christ. And I believe in my preaching that I need to get more simplistic. Throw those theories out. Quit splitting hairs over texts of scripture and get to the simple things again. The simple things again. Listen to what the Word of God says in Matthew 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I tell you, my dear friend, you who've studied the eschatology of the last events, you know that this prophecy of verse 29 has been fulfilled. Then in verse 30 it says, then shall appear. Our pioneers saw the signs of the heavens, the darkened sun. Our pioneers saw the heavens, the fallen stars. But we, this generation, shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in His glory. Hallelujah, He's coming in our generation. From the eastern sky, that pinpoint of light, And it's going to grow in intensity, brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. When men have thrown up their arms and we have folded our hands. When men have stood up on their own power and we have knelt down under the power of the Holy Spirit. Then that light will come. And out of the eastern sky, brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, 10,000 upon 10,000s of angels. And in that day, the sword of the persecutor will turn to wax. In that day, the mockery of the mad crowd, it shall go on deaf ears. And we shall hear him come. It is finished from one end of heaven to the other. And the sound of the trumpet. And those who have died in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, they'll be raised up and we'll go to heaven with them, hand in hand. We'll go to the kingdom. I'm looking for that day, aren't you, friend? I'm looking for the return of Jesus. I'm living for the return of Jesus. I'm praying for the return of Jesus. I'm preaching for the return of Jesus. I'm living for the return of Jesus. Aren't you? Aren't you? Jesus is coming. Coming again. People everywhere are weary of the bomb burst, the gunshot, the fisted hand. We've had enough of violence, of immorality, and of rebellion. We're very weary of the fact that our neighborhoods have been ruled by young toughs and drug addicts and crooked politicians, and the sickness has been with us a long time. It simmers and flares in the ghettos where people have felt the curse for years. But 1900 years ago, God wrapped himself in human flesh, and he shattered his body upon the cross outside of Jerusalem walls. Christ is the answer. He alone, the Prince of Peace, can restore peace again, and he will. Christ is the answer. He alone can restore law and order in our lawless universe, and he will. Christ is the answer. Man has tried 1,000 ways, but the Bible says there's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I tell you, there's no way but the way of Jesus Christ. When I was a young boy, I was visiting Steeplechase in Coney Island. How many of you remember Steeplechase? Well, some of you are that old. And I used to go there to Steeplechase, and I used to like to go on the rides, And one day I went in the maze. You know what the maze was? You'd have to go in there and find your way up these passages and all the way around and try to find your way out. And I remember I was a little boy and I went in there and I was going to show my brother Billy how to get through there just quick. And I told him to go around and wait. I'll be right through. And I started through. I went one direction and then another direction. I'd come to a dead end. Then I'd turn around and try to retrace my steps and then I'd go a dead end. And then a dead end and a dead end and a dead end. A little boy, I was getting frustrated. And I'd come to an end and there'd be a mirror there. And I'd be looking at myself in the mirror. Then I'd turn around and try to find my way out. Finally, I was getting so frustrated, I sat down and started to cry. What else would a little boy do? And then I yelled, "Help!" And the man that ran the ticket booth, he came running in looking for the little boy yelling, "Help!" Now I know some preachers would say, "Help!" But I yelled, "Help!" There I was, a little boy. There I'm sitting on the floor crying, "Help!" Tears streaming down my cheek. I'm lost. I'm stuck. The maze. Don't you see what's happening to society tonight? Don't you see your neighbors crying out really desperately, "Help"? Can't you see those poor lost people with their lost faces in our city, lonely people? Can't you see the cry in their soul, "Help"? The man took me out. He who created us, he who stooped to redeem us, he will come again and lead us out. I've tried in vain 1,000 ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. For what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For light and life I must appeal to simple faith in Jesus. Are you looking up tonight, friend? Jesus said, "I will come again." And my Jesus has never lied. Are you ready for his return? If he should come through the thunder and lightning of this dark night,
in all the glory of His return, in all the beauty of His holiness, would you look up and say, lo, this is our God, we've waited for Him, He will save us? Or will you turn your back upon Him and cry for the rocks to fall on you and hide you from Him that sitteth on the throne? There's only one question, friend, to ask, and there's only one answer you can receive. The question is, am I ready? And the answer is yes, with Jesus Christ. Why not try Him? You've tried everything else. Some of you have tried money and it hasn't satisfied. Some of you have tried to escape Him through alcohol or drugs, but it's not enough. Some of you have tried through promiscuity, through sin and sensuality. You've tried, but you haven't found the answer. Have you, friend? I found Jesus Christ is the answer. Why not try Him? Father, which art in heaven, we bow before You tonight. We bow before You under the eyes of judgment. Father, we realize there's no other people in this whole world, Father. We realize that Jesus is coming again. Lord, we realize there's no other people in all America than these people living in the city who have seen the Big Apple rotten to the core. Father, they know something's happening. I pray, God, that You'll prepare a remnant people here in this city. Amid the concrete jungles, that there'll be a people under the cross and banner of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's men or women or young people that's never surrendered to You, I pray, Jesus Christ, that You'll convict them tonight, that You're the answer. And I pray You'll go to their homes and to their hearts, Father, and that through the seed of Your Holy Spirit, that a seed will be born in that heart that will blossom into the fruits of the first fruits of the resurrection, or the second fruits of the translation. They might be a part of that great kingdom.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.